Well, the major banks have risked more attacks from the government after three out of the four failed to pass on the full amount of the Reserve Bank's latest interest rate cut. For the second month in a row, the RBA has cut the official rate. It's now at another all-time low of just 1%. And in a speech soon after that decision was announced, the Reserve Bank Governor, Philip Lowe, again called for the Morrison government to do more to help boost the economy than simply cutting income taxes. The Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann, has already responded, saying the government is, in fact, acting.
The RBA has made its judgments independently, reviewing all of the economic data, and you know, obviously that's their job. As we've said in the lead-up to the election, quite candidly, our economy is facing global economic headwinds. Our economy is facing downside risks in the economy.
That's the Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann. Well, Sherelle Murphy is Senior Economist at ANZ. Sherelle Murphy, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Two rate cuts in 2 months. The first time since 2012 we've had back-to-back cuts. The first moves on rates in 3 years, down to 1%, historic lows. Do you expect the rate will go even lower?
Yes, Fran, we do. We think that the Reserve Bank won't be able to get to its aim of lowering the unemployment rate to 4.5% unless it puts in even more monetary stimulus than it already has. Having said that, of course, we're yet to see the impact of these recent two rate cuts. And of course, the RBA will be weighing that up as it goes to further meetings.
That's a point I think a lot of people wonder, Sherelle. If we're yet to see the impact of these, the first rate cut, why have we got a second one? And why is the Reserve Bank Governor already suggesting or hinting there could be a third? How long do these normally take to have an impact?
Look, they can take many, many months. In the initial period, however, you can often get a bit of a confidence boost, I guess, out of lower rates, so people knowing that the money is coming their way. And obviously, you know, that can either go towards increasing repayments on mortgages, or people can take it, put it in their pocket. But it does take a long time for that to then flow through the various parts of the economy, consumers spending more, and then therefore they go out, they generate business. That causes businesses, of course, to feel more confident about the future, take on new employees, increase capital investment and the like. And that's why it does take several months, even sort of up to 18 months for a rate cut to fully flow through the economy.
All right. So what does it tell us then? That the bank is not really waiting for those impacts to cut through, but they're piling them on one after the other, because in his statement announcing the rate cut, the Reserve Bank Governor seemed broadly optimistic about how the economy is faring. He's keen to show this decision didn't mean we're in economic emergency. He said, and I quote, "The central scenario for the Australian economy remains reasonable, with growth around trend expected." How does that fit with record low and back-to-back interest rate cuts?
Well, the key here is spare capacity, Fran. So what he has also been saying is that we believe that there is spare capacity in the labour market. The underemployment rate is still high, around 8.5%. That means that there's a lot of people working, but who would like to be working more hours. And of course, you only get that when you have an economy which is running at a reasonable pace and which can soak up those extra workers, if you like. So what Phil Lowe is saying, no, we don't think the economy is a disaster, but we think that we can get the unemployment rate down to around about 4.5% without generating inflation, because of course that's what they need to do. They need to get their inflation into 2-3%, into that 2-3% band over the medium term, so they can get the unemployment rate down without generating inflation, which is unnecessary. In fact, getting some inflation, of course, is incredibly desirable at the moment, because our inflation rate is well below the target band.
Okay, so they're trying to soak up some of that spare capacity. Unemployment is at 5.2% at the moment, so it's a fair way off that 4.5% that the bank is looking for and hoping for. And in his speech last night, Philip Lowe basically urged the government to do more to help. He said the bank interest rate cuts, Australia should not rely on monetary policy alone. This isn't the first time he's said it in recent months. It's probably the third or fourth time he's said it. Anthony Albanese calls this a cry for help from the bank, if you put together the interest rate cuts and those comments from the Reserve Bank Governor. What do you think the Reserve Bank Governor is asking for here?
Yeah, look, he clearly is looking for some extra spending which would boost the the supply side of the economy, if you like, and also get demand going as again as well. So they've mentioned infrastructure spending on several occasions. That tends to be, of course, a particularly desirable way to spend government money, because not only are you creating jobs, you're creating new infrastructure, increasing the supply side of the economy, and hopefully even increasing the productivity of the economy. So that's clearly high on the list. And it's not just about spending money here and there on, you know, just getting cash into the economy. You know, fiscal spending, of course, has to be directed at the areas which would, as I say, increase the productive capacity of the economy, increase the productivity of the economy, and then you get the best outcomes long term.
He's not just talking about infrastructure spending. He also talked about, and I'm quoting here, structural policies that support firms expanding, investing, innovating, and employing people. What does he mean, Shira, when you hear that? What policies is the governor getting at?
Look, it could be a whole range of things. It could be simply finding having the government kind of remove barriers to firms working well.
So this is the red tape, the regulation the Prime Minister's been talking about?
The regulation, yep, that could be part of it, absolutely. You know, there's so many things that you could encapsulate in that package. It's about doing things better.
Is the implication, though, clearly from the Reserve Bank governor that he doesn't think the government is doing this enough or in a focused enough way?
Oh, I don't know that. I think that, you know, these are suggestions, I guess, as to where policy could be gone. I don't think that the Reserve Bank plays politics like that at all.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past 8. Our guest is Sherelle Murphy. Sherelle Murphy is Senior Economist with ANZ. Sherelle, I understand you can't comment on the big four banks' interest rate decisions, given you work at ANZ. But can I ask you what interest rate, the failure of the banks to pass on these interest rates in full, what that means, how much that might blunt the impact of these rates on getting the economy going?
Well, I guess, I mean, when we look at the situation, there's clearly most of it's been passed on. And we'll see, you know, most households be better off by hundreds of dollars over the next, even the next 6 months. And that's not just, obviously, the rate cuts, but we've got the tax cuts, hopefully if we see them come through this week, coming through in the second half of the year, which boosts household income by about 0.6%. You know, we've got the exchange rate, which is low, and that's part of the monetary policy transmission mechanism. Obviously, that is helping exporters, and that flows back into the economy. The terms of trade are high. So when you we've also had APRA sort of lower the, I guess, the hurdle for new borrowers to get into the market. So when you put all that together, I think that households actually are, you know, they will feel a little bit better off over the next 12 months than they do at the moment.
And yes, they're savers, of course. This decision is not good for savers, for retirees on fixed incomes.
Yeah, it's difficult for retirees and or those who are savers, because clearly it erodes their ability to generate income off that, although, of course, they haven't been receiving a particularly high interest rate as it stands. Phil Lowe makes the point, though, which is clearly correct, that every, I guess, the benefit to those who are borrowers is twice as big as the savings lost by savers. And so overall in the economy, you generate aggregate demand by cutting interest rates still. And that should therefore feed back in again to those jobs, to that capital investment decision by firms.
Yeah,
it is tough, though, of course, because savers are not certainly going to feel that for some time.
They're not going to benefit necessarily from jobs if they're retirees. Sherelle, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Sherelle Murphy is a senior economist at ANZ.